Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 21 called Everyone Did What Was Right in His Own Eyes.
Judges 21 is the final chapter of the book of Judges, and it opens in this way. Now the men of Israel had sworn, or they had taken an oath, 21:1, at or in Mizpah, saying, none of us shall give his daughter to Benjamin in marriage. They had probably made this vow before the battle had ensued. If you flip back to chapter 20, and look at verse 1, you'll see that the nation had congregated, all the sons of Israel, 20, verse 1, from Dan to Beersheba. Sherman had pointed out from the northernmost tip of the country to the southernmost, including the land of Gilead, came out, and the congregation assembled as one man. They were united, if you will, to the Lord. They came before the Lord Yahweh at Mizpah, and that's when they start organizing to take to find out what's occurred with the Levite's concubine and all that ugly stuff that we've already learned about and how they might respond. And so they assembled as a nation. They assembled as a people before the Lord. You might say before heaven and earth. And they wanted to respond to a chaotic time of calamity in the nation. And really it had been a time of moral chaos based upon the fact that they lacked leadership. Multiple times, at least four times in the book of Judges, and the very last verse says that there was no king in Israel and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. When you don't have a standard, when you don't know what you're even aiming for, you're bound to miss it. And the book of Judges really encapsulates a people that should have known better, but they had gone their own way. Today, it's captured in the words, I have my truth, you have your truth. And what that really means is I'm going to live by the set of standards that I determine for myself. It's not going to be from a transcendent source. It's not going to be based upon what we call moral objectivity. That means when you hear someone talk about objective truth, they're saying that the point of view of me or you does not change truth. My opinion doesn't change what's true. Subjective truth is based upon the subject, how I look at something or how I feel about something. Objective truth is object-oriented. It's based upon God and his standards. It doesn't change because you feel differently. Or you may say, well, I don't think that applies to me. That's really irrelevant when it comes to objective truth. Israel had been sliding away from the truth of God. And the whole chaotic tone of the book of Judges is based upon the fact that the people lacked leadership, and it does say everyone was doing what was right in his own eyes. I don't know if that's hyperbole, if that's an extreme statement, or if it literally means everyone. I hope that there were some people that cared and some people that wanted to do what was right. And I'll give you some hope at the beginning of this message. As chaotic as our country is right now, as morally crazy as the times have been, there are many people in our country and many people in the world that want to do what's right in God's eyes. And that's really kind of where you could say the line of divide is, or the line of demarcation is, for a believer and an unbeliever. Jesus is my king, and he sets the pace, and he tells me what is true and right, and I follow him. And some other people might have another religion, say they follow another holy book or whatever. But if you don't have that, then you're following the dictates of your own heart, or what your friends say, or what popular opinion is. And when you don't have a standard, what you have is people who just yell back and forth. And usually it's the person that yells the most or jumps up and down the most or has the most positive comments who seems to win the day. But that's not based upon objective truth. That's just based upon how much I can yell. Or if you see a protest happening and people are holding signs on both sides and in each other's faces and it's a chaotic scene. Same thing. What's it really based upon? Is it based upon how much I can yell and scream with passion? We know in some of the latest protests, there's probably a good amount of people that don't even know why they were there, or people who are probably hired to be there. But obviously, there is a time and a place for a protest in America. Our government built that in, that we could protest. And there was some really good protests along the way. Amen? Where there was wrongs that needed to be corrected. So this is what we got. We've got a people that should know better. One writer says that Israel has become the land of do as you please. And so here's what's happening. Now, they did have some holy passion about what had occurred with the scene with the concubine. And you remember that she was cut up, sadly, after she was dead. That's always a good thing. Sorry. And pieces of her body were sent all over to the 12 tribes of Israel. And it was an outrage. And so at least the people still had a moral compass. Something did outrage them. And it was this. And so they collected, you know, they formed there at Mizpah, and they had made an oath. So you can see the men of Israel had sworn, they had taken an oath. And here's what they said. They said they're not going to give any of their daughters to marry any Benjamites, anybody from the tribe of Benjamin, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. In fact, the youngest son, a very treasured son of Jacob. They said, we're not going to give any of our daughters to marry anybody who's a Benjamite. Now, you may remember as the Bible unfolds that the first king of Israel, Saul, is the son of Kish, and he's a Benjamite. So this scene, if you've read ahead a little bit in Judges 21, the people of Israel are concerned after they take vengeance on another tribe, a civil war has occurred, that they don't lose a whole tribe. Later, if you fast forward to the book of Philippians, Paul says, Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul, that he was of the tribe of Benjamin, and he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. So even though this was an ugly time for the tribe of Benjamin, Benjamin would survive this. And so some of the tears that are shed here are because there's some regret. But right now they've taken this vow. I think the vow happened before the battle, chapter 20, verse 1, as I mentioned. And so if you want to write this down, 1 Samuel 9:21 says of Saul, the first king of Israel, "Am I not a Benjamite?" 1 Samuel 9:21, "of the smallest of the tribes of Israel." And that strikes me because they had suffered such great losses in war that that's maybe why Benjamin was so small. Because they had lost, I think the total was 25,000 warriors, valiant warriors from the tribe. And when Saul is selected to be the first king, the tribe is small because they've suffered a ton of losses in battle because of what has unfolded here in the book of Judges, I would presume. And so he calls his tribe the smallest, his family the least, yet he is chosen to be the king. Verse 2, Judges 21. So the people came to Bethel. See that combination? The two letters L is a way to say God, and Beit is house in Hebrew. So it's the house of God, Beth-El or Beit-El. So that's where they congregated, a very well-known and famous place. And they sat there before God, that's the word Elohim, until evening. So the people now have assembled. They have reiterated this vow they made. And they've assembled and they sat before God until evening, notice, and lifted up their voices and wept bitterly. And they said, "Why, O Lord," or "Why, Yahweh, God of Israel? Why, O Lord?" I'm a guy, and I don't see myself as a really emotional person, although I am a compassionate person, and I am pastoral, and so I pray regularly that the Lord will give me his heart for his people, because I want to shepherd God's people well. But I'm not a big crier, but I've had some occasions where I've wept before the Lord. I don't know if you have, I don't want to make presumptions based upon male, female, but I do presume that women cry a little bit more than guys. Is that true? Would you guys bear witness to that tonight? Okay, I think it's true. And I will give you some free marriage advice. My wife is watching, and she's heard me say this before. At one point in our marriage, and I think probably a good decade had gone by, I asked my wife, "Why do you cry?" Now, it was a sincere question. And she told me that she cries to purge. And I said, "What do you want me to do when you cry?"
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Hey, producer Rob here with a reminder you can listen to Walk in Truth with Pastor Michael Lance anytime you want on your favorite podcast app. You can listen to Walk in Truth while you're on a walk or maybe you're doing the dishes, anytime you would like a dose of a teaching from the Word of God. You can find Walk in Truth on your Apple Podcast app or maybe you use Spotify or iHeartRadio, any podcast app, you'll find Walk in Truth. Just click on the subscribe button so that you can be notified every time a new episode is uploaded. And if you're already listening on podcast, please do us a favor and spread the word about Walk in Truth. Click that share button and share today's episode. Really appreciate you. God bless.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
I do presume that women cry a little bit more than guys. Is that true? Would you guys bear witness to that tonight? Okay, I think it's true. And I will give you some free marriage advice. My wife is watching, and she's heard me say this before. At one point in our marriage, and I think probably a good decade had gone by, I asked my wife, "Why do you cry?" Now, it was a sincere question. And she told me that she cries to purge. And I said, "What do you want me to do when you cry?" Because as a guy, I don't know what to do. And she said, "I want you to hold me. I don't want you to try to fix it all the time. I just want you to hold me." I thought that that was pretty good. Not only honesty from my wife, but pretty good marriage advice as well. Anybody want to bear witness to that? That was a little light of an amen, but anyway. So I have found myself, and I will confess to you that even this week, I found myself weeping before the Lord. I won't give you the details of it, but I think sometimes when you weep before the Lord, you sense a desperation in yourself. I got a chance to visit Living Truth in Topeka, Kansas. And I had done a wedding in Oklahoma, and we have a small church plant in Kansas, and a wonderful couple leads that fellowship, Eric and Melissa Patterson. Eric is the pastor. And so I was going to be, you know, within hours of a drive. So I drove to Topeka and drove through a lot of small towns with not such great light, and I made it there. And I was going through something personally, and I went to the pulpit. I was invited to share a little bit. I wasn't preaching the message, but I was just there, you know, visiting. And I went up to the pulpit, and all I could do was cry. I was like a blubbering mess, which, if you've been here long enough, you know that that's not really Pastor Michael, right? I'm a pretty measured person and try to be pretty good prepared, and I was just blubbering up there. And I was going through something personally. It wasn't that big of a deal in the end, but I just was crying, and I apologized several times, and I couldn't even get it together. And so I came back and I shared it with somebody, and somebody said, "Pastor Michael," and I think they wrote me a note, "Maybe what those people needed was your tears." I thought, well, that's kind of strange, but I think it can be true. Do you? Sometimes our tears can express where we're at. I want to show you just a quick Psalm, and go to your right, hold your place in Judges, just go to Psalm chapter 6. So David is really honest with many of the Psalms, obviously, and he pens most of the first 30 Psalms. And here's what he says in Psalm 6. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, 6:1 of Psalm 6:1, nor chasten me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed, Psalm 6, verse 3. My soul is greatly dismayed, but you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, rescue my soul. Save me because of your loving kindness. For there is no mention of you in death. In Sheol, who will give you thanks? I am weary of my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears. My eye has wasted away with grief. It has become old because of all my adversaries. Depart from me, all you who do iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. Notice, the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and greatly dismayed. They shall turn back. They will suddenly be ashamed. Flip back to Judges 21. I could give you a lot. It says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus was heard through his tears. It does say that Esau even tried to find a place of repentance with tears, but he didn't find it. There's a way that you can cry and your heart is really in it, and there's a weeping where it may not be. You can weep, you can sit before the Lord and weep, but what really matters is which direction you go when you get up. Amen? You could sit before the Lord and weep, but if you don't change anything after you cry before the Lord, if you get up and go right back in the same direction that brought you to those tears, you haven't changed a thing. And I would say, well, weeping can be healthy, it can be cleansing, it can help you get some stuff off your chest, but I hope you get up walking straighter than when you sat down. That's what really matters for Israel right now. And I will tell you, having read multiple commentators on this scene, there's a high level of doubt as to what the motivation is of Israel right now. Why their tears? Some commentators believe that there's some genuine repentance going on, and others believe that what Israel is actually doing is expressing regret and blaming God. They're sorry for what's occurred, and that sorrow has brought some tears, but they're blaming God instead of taking ownership for themselves. Have you ever seen someone cry, but you know the reason that they were crying is because they got caught, not because they're really sorry? Amen? So what God cares about is not so much that we could cry tears. That can be really healthy and even redemptive. But what really matters to God is what's going on right here. Is it genuine? Is it, Lord, I'm sorry? Or even as Daniel confessed sin that, you know, he was a very righteous man, but he confessed the sins of his nation. And he said, I've sinned. In verse 3 of Judges 21, they said, why, Yahweh? Why, O Lord, God of Israel, has this come about in our nation, they might say, in Israel? So that one tribe, that is Benjamin, should be missing today in Israel. Oh, Lord, why? Now, what's occurred is a civil war. We had a civil war in the United States of America. That civil war was over the issue of slavery. And many people died in that war, and it was U.S. against U.S. And slavery was a blight to the nation, and it needed to be corrected. And a war was fought over it, and thousands of people died in our country. And Lincoln tried to bring the country together after that war, and it was said of Lincoln that he was this amazing combination of velvet and steel. He could be very soft when it was needed and very tough when it was needed. And he had the job as a president of a country to try to bring the country back together after a civil war. That's not an easy job. But that's where leadership is critical, right? Because you could have a civil war in a nation over a very important issue. And I would say if you go back in time to this issue, this was an important issue. People needed to be angry about this. But how do you pick up the pieces after that?
You've been listening to Everyone Did What Was Right in His Own Eyes, Part 1 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges chapter 21. If you missed any part of today's program, Walk in Truth is on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and many more podcast apps. Listen for free to Pastor Michael's teachings in more books of the Bible. You can email Pastor Michael with your questions you may have from his teaching today, or maybe you have a question about something else, or need encouragement, or prayer. Maybe you'd like to share how Pastor Michael's teachings have affected you. You can email Pastor Michael at contact@walkintruth.com. That's contact@walkintruth.com. And thanks for reaching out. You can also find our mailing address on walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael with the final word.
Well, in having fast-forwarded through the book of Judges, we are reflecting on an ugly scene that happened in the life of the nation. And it had to do with a prostitute and her, this is brutal, but her body parts being cut up after she was killed and sent to the 12 tribes and war that arose and really a civil war. And now in chapter 21, there's a reflection. What have we done? What have we become? Is the sense that you get here. The sons of Israel were sorry for their brother Benjamin because one tribe had been cut off from Israel and so forth. And as we think about life and we think about, okay, we have decisions that we make. We talked about this with the life of Samson and then fallout as a result. And then how do we seek reconciliation and restoration after a conflict, after a war? This would definitely apply to our marriages, for example. Maybe recently you've had a spat with your spouse and the words got ugly. Maybe you said or did something that you deeply regret. What do you do to make that right? How do you reconcile a relationship? I would just say this, it all starts with humility. It all starts with a sense that you're going to get low before God and before that person you hurt. And you're going to make it right. If pride leads you, pride will put up a wall. Humility will knock down that wall. So you humble yourself before God, first and foremost, and humble yourself before that person. If you have committed wrong and you know that the healing is going to start when you humble yourself, that's it. Just remember it. The healing starts when you humble yourself, and that will get you on the path to restoration. This is Pastor Michael Lance. We're looking at some chapters in the book of Judges, God working even in chaotic times, and he does. And maybe you're going through a chaotic time yourself and you need some help. We have a number that we make available to our radio and podcast listening family right here on Walk in Truth. It's 844-48-TRUTH. We have pastors here Tuesday through Friday during normal hours Pacific time, 844-48-TRUTH. And we have many of our precious family members over the years, our listening family, have taken advantage of that number to get prayer or ask a question or get some encouragement. 844-48-TRUTH. Take advantage of that number today. Hopefully we can be here to minister to you. And we'll see you right here on Walk in Truth tomorrow.
We need your support to keep the Walk in Truth show going strong. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you can help us cover radio airtime bills, make our podcast available, and even expand our reach to more radio stations. Your contribution will truly make a difference in supporting our ministry. Join us in spreading truth and wisdom across the airwaves. Visit walkintruth.com and click donate. That's walkintruth.com and click donate. And join us tomorrow for part two of Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 21 called Everyone Did What Was Right in His Own Eyes.
And whenever we use our own wisdom to try to fix another problem, we cause more problems, and our plans always fall short of where they need to be. Amen? Your wisdom, my wisdom, is never going to make it. And they're 200 short, but they think, hey, we're chipping away. We got two-thirds of these guys covered. And you think, this is nuts, Pastor Michael. Yeah, this is the Bible. And the Bible doesn't hide the moral deficiencies even of its heroes.
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lantz and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.